bury the SNLs along with all inhabitants. But not so. You are going to allow, while you are distracted on something else, you're going to allow those laws to be put in place that allow this oozing octopus to spread out all through these districts. Because interstate doesn't mean anything to the federal government, to the administration. And you're only going to have 5 banks, period. And the favored one for the United States of America is Bank of America. You are going to work within this system, or you are not going to make it. You are going to have to stay anonymous as much as you can. That means a Nevada corporation, where owners are not required to list themselves. How long will that be? I don't know. But today it's valid. Yesterday, citizenizing yourself may have been valid. Today, it is not. If you've already done that, your only hope for getting back into the system without being noticed is possibly to just continue to be rather anonymous, but open up a Nevada corporation so that it can cash a check for you at the Bank of America. We have some funding in processing, and guess what? It's all having to be handled through the Mexican Banco Nacional and the Caymans and through Chase. I don't have to list them all. The best one is the De Lavoro Bank because it's the most criminal. It belongs to the mafia and the elite in conjunction. And that's where the CIA, the FBI, the British intelligence, the KGB, that's where they all do their business. This is where Bush and Saddam have joined bank accounts. You are doing pretty well with BCCI. They had multi-million dollars in their little split account, Bush, George Bush. That's George Herbert Walker Bush. And Saddam Hussein. How quaint. Well, why would they bother then to shut down good old BCCI? Because they wanted the Arabs, who owned a lot of it. They're all home officed in England. And mommy lives in Basel, Switzerland, and is called Bank of International Settlements. And it's the petty cash fund for the Committee of 300 and Queen Elizabeth. You cannot fight this unless you know what the beast is. Well, I don't want to be bothered with that. Just tell me how to get my own shekels protected. Well, I have offered you 2 or 3 ways to protect them to the ultimate possibility available. Well, I want a guarantee. I can guarantee you one thing: you don't do it, you lose it. That is certain. Oh, but you said that last year, and I invested in this, and I made money. Ha, 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 ha. Well, good for you. I'm so pleased. Now what are you going to do with it? It's like the slot machine. I'm going to do it again, and guess what? Yes, it's our next version of gotcha, you're right. Sucker. You have to watch what they're doing. And when you hear me say, they have an arrangement, it's an illegal arrangement. And yet you should have seen the handwriting on the wall with Dorman Oberle's property. You've had a full-blown picture with just that property and the RTC. And Reagan and Bush and Duke Majan and a lousy judicial system and fixed judges and, it's perfect. It is the most wonderful little case. A nothing case, do you see? Startling, isn't it? Watch what they did, and you'll know that I tell you truth. After they had stolen from everybody, and after the high muckies of Santa Barbara Savings took a big bonus, within 2 days, the RTC took over. And we go along this way for a while. The ones who stayed understand something. In the home office, and Audrey can verify this because she was there. The ones who remained in the home office, like the in-house counsel, like all the officers, got a promotion. And now the RTC paid them. You paid them for their slimy work. Now we go along and we are handling Santa Barbara's business, right? Oh, they're handling it all right. And they're dickering and then suddenly it's okay. It's been approved. Guess what? Bank of America and the international mafia are just going to purchase the assets, the good assets, the deposits. Well, but they were in trouble. That's what got them in trouble in the first place. They have all these bad debts and loans. Well, TAXPAYER, it's called. You. The Bank of America has a deal, and it will never be as open as just, well, it will be. I take it back. We just witnessed it. It certainly is as open, depending on what they want to do. They just merged in Security Pacific Bank. That, too, was illegal. Not just unlawful, illegal. And it made them, guess what, second biggest bank in the United States. It is a directed representative of the Committee of 300. It has massive investments from the Japanese, which you see are high in the Trilateral Commission. It's a trilateral bank. And arrangements, illegal, have been made that as these SNLs and smaller banks go under or get in trouble or it appears they need to merge or whatever, the Bank of America will take all the good assets and you will absorb the bad ones. There is no way to salvage your savings and loans problems. So another $25 billion wouldn't do it, would it? But let's see, how else can we get you? There just isn't funding like this. Why isn't there? Well, we have to give $12 billion to the Soviet Union, of course. Where are you going to get it? Oh, well, we're going to guarantee those loans with who? The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and the Bank of International Settlements. Of course, you should have known. You borrow it. That way you can pay for it 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 times. You don't run your government with taxes. You don't even pay all of your debt on that money with your taxes. That's why they have to have your blood and all your assets, all your property. You are bankrupt. And they've deliberately done it. So the only way you're going to make it is to work within the system and manipulate it to the very best and shrewdest of your capability. And you stay small. That way they like you. You're not a troublemaker. Well, don't you want us to make trouble? I certainly do not. I would be very happy if no one ever even looked at you. But usually we have to get on our soapbox and wave our hands and say, look at me, look at me. Or go out and dare God, I'm not afraid of you. Strike me with lightning. He wouldn't bother. You're already dead. At least between the ears. But you hurt other ones in that kind of behavior. So we get down to the nitty-gritty of it. How are you alive now? Well, the CIA agents probably know. Command has command of a lot of things that you'll be hearing about. And a lot of bargaining goes on. And a lot of announcements go on. They know that we're not going to do anything to them. You're going to play this out. But they also know where the limits are. And the little mavericks, the little unknowing ones, the little heroes, I'll go get them out. They're your danger. The elite are not going to work very much longer trying to silence you, because the work is out enough that they can't silence you anymore. And it should be coming pretty obvious to a lot of you, especially with Coleman. Coleman was in British intelligence. You don't get out of there, not alive. So how could it be that a book could be written that exposes all the way back to the India Company and lists all the ones of the elite, 300. Well, it's easy to come by a list like that. I've given it to you in bits and pieces all through all the work. Well, how in the world then could it be that, why isn't he dead now? I told you, they want you to have the information. What they don't want you to have is that which gives you the power to stop them. And they are so egotistical that it never occurs to them that you could. And someday, soon, they're going to have to tell you how it is. So they're just as happy that we are telling you how it is. And they know that not enough will listen to hurt them. And with any kind of hope, half of them that listen will do something foolish, like go to battle with them. so they can kill you. That's not our purpose here. You may do that if you like, remembering free will. But I'm advising you that that is not the best way to go, because they know who they may not touch. They know that a remnant will be brought through. They think they've got their own security laid for enough people in their elite circle to be housed in Australia and New Zealand and parts there, you know, over there. Why? Because they think they can sacrifice the entire northern hemisphere of this planet. And that will get rid of enough of the population. They don't have to worry anymore. That, of course, means that you're going to have to stay underground for a long time. But with the weapons they hope to use, not too long. And they'll still have some infrastructure. But they're willing to sacrifice that entire northern hemisphere where you are. Well, but there are a lot of, you know, ones that are undesirable in the southern hemisphere. Well, they're getting rid of them with AIDS and things like that as fast as they can. Well, how do we get through this? With great care and attention, and in the most unlikely manner that you would think of. When you write your proposals, you write your proposals so that even the nitwits in Washington can see that you are building something that's useful for them. Low-cost housing in the detention centers. You've already outgrown your prison. Put up some little domes over there. Tell them whatever you like. You see, one reason you don't go in there and say, all right, we know you're going to have these retaining centers like you did with the Japanese. Can't we just prepare now? Oh, well, we've got these barracks, and we about have them emptied in a lot of places, so we're okay. Well, no, they're enough troublemakers, Master, that you better watch out, because, and you know, if they're uncomfortable, they're going to get nasty. Oh, well, that gives us a chance to shoot them. Well, but who are you going to have work for you? You want the intelligent ones to work for you, don't you? Oh, yeah. Well, it would be better if they had a little dome to live in and could grow some of their own food. That way they feel like they're still free while you have total control. Give them a way to give you what you want and need. And you can do, there are several areas, but I'm going to speak of this one right now, right here in this valley. What you need to do to lay the foundation for, quote, let us just call it the example. Don't you think a little small community of a few of you with some domes, if you were growing food, that you could feed your reservation? Don't you think they'd probably leave you pretty much alone? And if you didn't give great trouble while all of this is shaking out, Bull Grites asked me, well, what is my purpose? It's either bullets or no. No, it isn't. You won't know until you get to that intersection, your direction, and then it opens. And I told him, You better be prepared. Yours may not be to serve now, son. When this falls into total collapse, upheaval, and disaster, somebody has got to pick up the pieces, if there is yet a planet upon which to pick up those pieces. And you must have your constitution. You will have the foundation for building. So you cannot consider everything bad. Supposing we have it this way. Supposing they ruined the northern hemisphere as far as people are concerned. That means they're over there in Australia, and you've got a planet, and you've got a nation. A lot of it. A lot of it. Don't undersell God. But it behooves you to walk along as the instructions come. And that means you have to be open and flexible enough to hear them each day, each moment. Because this is what is free will. You have to play according to what is going on, what is. You cannot just say, well, I want it to be this way, and therefore. You can decide how you want it out there and head for it, but you're going to have to be flexible here. You can't see where your need may really be. But you see, they have done some smart calculating. If the planet tilts, guess what's going to be above water? Australia. So you may not be in the know, but the elite are in the know. They just haven't told you. Because you're not in their plan for sharing their satin sheets. Well, it's not going to be like they think either.
That's right.
So you may as well allow them to go on with their plan as they have told you it's going to be. Meanwhile, you walk right straight up through the middle of their plan, utilizing everything that they allow for you. If they change those laws in Nevada, they change the laws that have been laid to help them. So they may all get incorporated and today, tomorrow they change the law. Well, that's too bad. You should have done it then when they did it, the day before yesterday, because they'll probably grandfather that. They won't let you know. That's like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. We set all these rules. We get everything coming. And then we set ourselves over here under a grandfather clause. And after that, the whole world has to function one way while we still get. It's massive. And I understand the inquiries. I understand that it's very hard for you to live at this level. You're human, and what is right around you impacts you, so that's where. And you're trying to think of, how do I serve? How do I do it? What do we do? I have a question here about well water and digging wells and things in San Diego, and will that help in the drought situation, etc.? Well, number one, now you're out of a drought situation. No. Desalinization plants would. But you're not going to be able to put up many of those because there won't be enough tax money, enough local money. You're going to have to conserve. But aren't you lucky? They have all this worked out for you in those great big underground facilities. And they don't have anything capable. There is nothing they nor the cosmospheres have big enough to stop me. It is good. It's very good. And we don't have to have a lot of it. Oh, but they have nice generators and oh, they've just got to, I can hardly wait for you to see it. And there are quite a few of our people already there, you know, waiting for you. If you have to use that as a little interim place, and you will. You probably will. Because we still have a lot of building to do before we perceive the old planets of Gore. But we have to be prepared for every possibility. That's part of our experience. And we're going to do it. And now we're going to turn to some questions. Because this... No, I can't do that. Yes, I can. I've covered the troop movements enough, I believe. You're in war. That's all there is to it. And they're ready to announce that you're going to war in the space arena. The Soviets are well settled in and now totally control. Actually, it's not the Soviets, it's just the communistic movement. They're not even communists. The sneaks already have control. Look what has happening with Libya. You have the rabble-rousers just about to get Libya bombed off the map by exactly what I'm talking about. You are patriots! Rise up and protect your country. Now all you're doing is getting your country blown off the map by burning foreign embassies. The United Nations is in control. I'm telling you. Listen to me. They are telling you every newscast. Oh, into Azerbaijan, go the United Nations peacekeeping forces with their little blue hats. The United Nations Security Council voted with only 5 abstentions. You know, it doesn't matter, does it? Whether you vote against it or not. If you vote against something, you are dead. And they'll let you abstain for a while. What difference does it make? The United States, as they see it, the United States rolls right over. No, you only pay for it. Don't you see? You only pay for it. And you send yours over there to get killed for the other one. It's insane. And yet there's such method to their madness. Bush and Saddam have joint bank accounts. You just pour money into Iraq so they can buy arms. From whom? Whom? And what they can't buy, you send them. And then you go bomb them. You bomb the milk factories and the churches and the museums.
It's their mode of operation.
Yes. And you say, well, how come nobody told us? They were telling you about it.
You could see it
40, 50 years ago. But nobody was ready to hear. Nobody was ready to hear. So I get everything from, well, that's just nothing but plagiarism. Well, my goodness. Why didn't you hear it when they wrote it? Most of them didn't write it until someone else wrote it. Always look at that reflection. Mm-hmm. If a thing be truth, why would you hide this kind of thing? Wouldn't you be shouting it to anyone who would hear? It's your life. It is your very existence. And you've let it go. You were sent as stewards to a planet. You were given the lamp of freedom to hold for the world. And you let the adversary in. And God knew you would do that because that is human nature. It is what you do now that is the measure of you as man, as a species. Well, it looks pretty hopeless. Yes, it does. But you have to remember that enough will pass through. And when you come into knowing and understanding and assuming your power, you will change it. And I know, I hear Dharma. She says, well, what difference does it make? You've got it one way or another. If we have to get off of here, I know where I'm going. Well, you may know, precious, but quite a few don't. But all of you actually do, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be even here bothering to listen. Some will come out of curiosity, but it's very hard to walk out that door and not know, as you look around and watch your news, that at least a part of what I'm saying is true. And any one of those parts will destroy you. And you cannot fix one part of an automobile and expect it to run if all of it's broken. And especially when all the parts are hidden. Let's have an Easter egg hunt. We're going to put this motor together. I have a bolt. And I have this long stringy thing. It sounds like an elephant put together by a committee, doesn't it? So you have to know what's wrong. And that's the hard part. And you've confronted it. You struggle and you wallow about in it. I don't know about that. No, you're saying, I don't want to know about that. Well, I think they're just trying to convert me to something. Probably to hypocrisy. I better just think about it a few days. And to that I say, Mitakyo-san, for all my relations, I pray you think fast. I've asked once, and this is for any of you, as you have questions, please write them in. Write them down. I don't want you to feel that any question is foolish if it is asked in true intent. Now, if you're just asking over and over and over again for me to have to go back to volume one of Pleiades or to Emmanuel, forget it. I'm not. I'm going to tell you to go and read. I will try to do it gently because I will know that you have not. And I know that it is pressing and you cannot at one time absorb everything, although many try to do that. They just put them in a heap and sleep on them to see if in fact it may work. It doesn't. It doesn't. You're going to have to put your eyes on them, or your ears, one or the other. And through it, if you ask God, He will guide those thoughts and perceptions and allow for some understanding. And you won't get it. And especially if you start with the most recent, there's going to be a lot that will seem quite contradictory to you. If this one comes from God, why isn't he spiritual? Why is he talking about Saddam Hussein, this madman? Well, if you go back 12 journals, you'll find why. Be patient and kind with yourself. The only stupid question is the one you don't ask. It might be very important. There are no little questions. There are some questions that are personal, and I will not answer in a group. That's not what we're here for. If you want a guru and a fortune teller, go to Jay-Z Knight and let Rompa do it. I know some others too, but that came right off the top. Do I blast Jay-Z Knight and Rompa? Absolutely not. I would hope that all of you would go and experience. Because only in the experiencing and the reading and the studying can you find truth. And if you use the guidelines we are reminding you about, it won't take you 15 minutes to know where they come from. They will immediately start with some New Age blathering. New Age is a stolen term. You are in a New Age, yes. It started 5 years ago. You are in a New Age of enlightenment. That doesn't mean you're in the age of Aquarius. What in the soup does that mean? You are in a time that has come for awakening because you've slept too long. There's nothing new about it. It is as old as creation. And I have no pick with a 64,000-year-old spaceman. But I'm telling you something. If he is a spaceman, an etheric being, at 64,000, he's not even creeping yet. And he tells you right off the bat he was a barbarian. Well, he's come to the right place. And I'm still not picking at him. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm older than he is, and he deserves to give me respect. He can't discern his shortcomings. And neither can you, unless you read one of the best books ever put forth on your place is Rompa. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. And if you learn truth and the guidelines, these are your clues so that you can know what to do, which is valid. Be suspect of everything that comes into your attention. Weigh it, measure it, and then discern. I don't mind balancing anything I say against anything anyone wishes to confront me with. Truth will stand into infinity. And ones who will read those words will throw them right back into my face and dare me. I said I would make myself available to meet with you. Well, la-ti-da. I'm sure all of you would like me to run over to, let us say, Sedona, and stop doing our work to go and confront someone who says, I'm of evil, if they wish to believe it. Let's see who takes off and who stays. Let's see who ascends and who doesn't. The proof of a fortune teller or a real prophet are greatly different. A fortune teller will advertise, I get it right 75% of the time. A prophet is right 100% of the time. But you live in a right now, give it to me generation. They've trained you to be that way. And if it doesn't happen today, he was wrong, he's false, sure enough, they were right, he's evil. Well, that's up to you. That is absolutely up to you. Because I didn't come to play those kinds of games. J.C. Knight maybe did. Lazarus maybe did. Mafu, he lost his to a swamiship. Is this the impact of earth? Both. What happened with Mafu? Mafu brought truth. Did Penny Torres let him down? Or did he prod her into something that would discount the truth of God? She's now running around in a swami uniform. Robes, saffron robes. And now she sits. And she and Mafu just pass out all this stuff. You don't have any crowns to offer to anyone. You cannot offer God a crown. You see? And who would wear the crown if you brought one to this table and says, hat on, oh God, please take this crown. Who's going to wear it? Who is going to wear it? Hatton or Dorma? Neither one. Doris would. Beware of Doris. Because she's just like you. She has her opinions and they are absolutely guided by what she maybe has learned and her opinion. Dorma's gracious enough to allow me in. Which brings up one other fragment and then the questions. I wrote about it, but I want to share this because it's shocking when you see something like this. Ramdas, hot dog. He's going to make a big seminar in Salt Lake. Well, he goes all around making all these big seminars, but there's something different this time. The reading starts out, Dorma will spin, blah, blah, blah. And excitement and twittering. Oh, Hatton must be coming to town. Well, the ones who know, if they read the document, will also know that it wasn't me. I have never, ever condoned such a thing. Dharma simply means life, truth, bringer of, whatever, you know. And it's sort of like a state of being. It doesn't mean really anything, and everybody can call themselves that. It's no big deal. I don't mean to put her down. It's just no big deal. So right off the bat, though, you've got a false impression brewing. Now, who's Ram Dass? Oh, well, he's someone who came out of the Dr. Leary, LSD cult. Right out of the Tavistock Institute from England in brain manipulation. And Dorma was a little concerned when I didn't get very upset about it. I said, look at it. Well, it didn't mean anything to her. She'd heard of Ram Dass. And she'd only heard of Ram Dass through one person, and that was a little lady named Sammy, who was the personal secretary to Robert Redford. And she thought it must have been Yogananda. No, it was Ram Dass. Well, how'd he come by a name like that? Oh, well, it must be Ram Dass Swami Yogananda. No, it wasn't no slip. They teach computerized programming. RAM, R-A-M, DOS, D-O-S. They just changed it a little bit. Is that bad? No, you're...